Paul is in chains and he's gone through a lot. But it's because of Jesus, not because of sin. It's because of Jesus. And when that's the case in your life as a believer, there's some amazing things that happen if we see things rightly.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, I think it would be safe to say that everyone listening to this program has had some kind of difficulty in their life. Now, some more than others, but none of us are strangers to tough times. So, as followers of Jesus Christ, how are we to respond to those tough times?
Well, Dave, we're going to begin to answer that question today. So turn with us in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, we have a lot of things to fear as human beings. Different situations come upon us. We fear those things. There's an unstable world right now. All kinds of crazy things going on. Who knows what might happen? There's disease and trouble and trials and wars, and there's bad people out there. We have a lot of things that we can certainly fear. Now, we as believers, we learn and understand that Jesus Christ is sovereign, that he is in control of circumstances that he allows. And as we understand that, our fears of things begin to become less and less as we trust him, as we give over those anxieties and worries to him. But there's one area that we tend to fear in that I believe today we're going to see and be encouraged not to fear in, and that is sharing the gospel. You see, right now, we as Americans, we don't have a valid fear of being persecuted for sharing the gospel. We're not going to go to jail for sharing the gospel. We're not going to die for sharing the gospel. But on the other hand, I think we can all fear how someone might respond when we share the truth with them. We can all fear that, maybe based on previous situations, maybe based on what we've seen. But we can be tempted to fear, and sometimes, maybe when the Lord is prompting, not share what he wants us to share. Well, today we're going to see how we can endure the difficulties of life for following Christ. And within that, God uses those difficulties to encourage us to not be fearful, but to trust him and to look for and step through as he leads those open doors to share the gospel. Today we're looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. So would you turn in your Bibles with me to this passage today? Now, again, the context of Philippians, the apostle Paul had come to Philippi in 52 AD, 20 years after Pentecost, and after sharing the gospel with Lydia and her family and the Philippian jailer and his family, the church was formed. And we see within that this Philippian church was very close to the apostle Paul. We'll see that later on in chapter 4. That they were concerned about him. They even sent, chapter 2, Epaphras to minister to his needs while he was in prison. And by the way, the Apostle Paul at this time was in prison in Rome. He was under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard 24/7. Now within this, we know that the Philippians loved the Apostle Paul and they were concerned about him. They had provided gifts for him when no other church had provided gifts. They loved the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul loved them. And Philippians is one of the four prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, written probably around 62-ish A.D., about 10 years after the church had begun. Now, as we've been looking in the book of Philippians, there are some wonderful themes throughout this book that we see that we need to keep in mind as we look at the smaller pieces of this book. First of all, in chapter 1, as we're going to see, Lord willing, next week, Christ is our life. He is our life. To live is Christ. And we'll see in chapter 2, he's our perfect example of obedient humility. God who took on human flesh, the suffering servant, because of who he is and what he has done, going to have before him every knee bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. In chapter 3, we see that he is our focus. He is everything. That gaining true intimate knowledge of Him is everything. Paul considered everything else as lost. And the true relational knowledge of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing Him, and then becoming like Him, that goal, pressing on toward that heavenly goal. And in chapter 4, we see that He is the one that we stand firm in. He is the one, if we will allow Him to, will guard our hearts with His peace as we bring our petitions before Him and we're tempted to be anxious. He is the one in which we keep our focus upon. And in Him, we can do all things. And He is the one who strengthens us. And lastly, we see that He is the one who will supply all our needs. God will supply it through Christ, all our needs in Christ Jesus. And throughout this book, there's much reason to rejoice because of who Christ is and what He has done. And it's so easy when we go through the difficulties of life to forget those things and to become sidetracked and emotionally brought down maybe because of the difficulties that come before us rather than truly what's really going on in Christ for true believers. So with that in mind, this letter is about Christ. This letter is about a wonderful Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. So rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I hope we have been encouraged as we've seen Paul's introduction so far, that he is overjoyed when he thinks of these Philippians and he prays for them. He is thankful for them and he is confident that God will complete his work in them. And we saw last week as he prayed for them, he prayed that their love in Christ would abound more and more in true knowledge and discernment, that we would be able in the Spirit to make right choices that ultimately glorify God. And it's from this point that we come to our passage today where Paul actually begins his correspondence with these Philippians. So would you turn your Bibles again, if you haven't already, to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 18. And again, I think we're going to see how we can endure the difficulties of life that come for following Jesus Christ. Those difficulties that come as we see and gain some perspective from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit. So with this in mind, let's read our passage. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Now, we're going to stop there and look at this portion, and we'll move through to verse 18 as we go. But I think, first of all, how we can endure those difficulties that come upon us for following Jesus is we need to realize that God allows these circumstances in our lives. And the Apostle Paul understood that God was using the circumstances for something grand, for something glorious. So as we begin, notice he says here in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brethren." So let's make some general observations. He's talking to the brethren. He's speaking to Philippian believers. They are those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and have become family members in God's family. They are those, as Paul would say earlier, who are saints in Christ Jesus, verse 1. They are those who were set apart from sin to God. They were redeemed, they were saved, they were forgiven through the blood of Christ. They are brethren. They're believers in God's family. And this is who Paul is addressing. This is who Paul wants to understand what's going on in his life so that they would be encouraged and, as we'll see, empowered by God to go forth and speak his word. He says, "Now I want you to know, brethren." The term "to know" speaks of coming to understand, realizing, understanding something, comprehending. I want you to comprehend what has happened. I want you to comprehend or know. Now I want you to comprehend, brethren. And what does he want them to comprehend? "That my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Now, what we're going to see is that Paul wants these Philippians to know that his circumstances brought about a resulting pioneer advance in the gospel. That's what he's going to want them to know. And so he shares this, first of all. He shares about his circumstances. And these Philippians were concerned for him. The Apostle Paul loves them. They were concerned. You know, see, the Apostle Paul was in chains. And they had sent Epaphroditus to minister to him. Look at verse 25 of chapter 2. This is while Paul is in prison in Rome. They sent Epaphroditus. This is a long way, by the way. It's a long way. No trains, no planes, no automobiles. It's horses or walking, most likely, for Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. He's the guy you sent to send information about you guys and to minister to my need. He was a man who the Philippians sent to see how Paul was doing, to send a message to them, to minister to him in his imprisonment. It's obviously clear that this church was concerned for Paul in his imprisonment. You know, if you think about it, you know, we hear of pastors who are in jail. One guy in Iran, I think it was. If you knew them personally, you'd be concerned about how they're doing. How are they doing? How are they doing? And they were concerned about the Apostle Paul. And I believe the Apostle Paul is responding to this here. He is concerned what they might be thinking. Maybe even that the gospel is at a roadblock now that he's in prison. Maybe that his ministry has kind of come to a standstill now that he's in prison. They knew he was appointed an apostle. They knew what God had called him to do. But now he's in chains. Is that all changed now? And so the Apostle Paul says, I want you to know, I want you to comprehend or understand, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. You know, brothers and sisters, we can so often see our circumstances as impeding the work of God. We sometimes have an understanding of how we think God's work. Now, God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and yet we sometimes think they are, don't we? But it's quite possible that these Philippians were concerned, and Paul is wanting to write them to calm their concerns about his situation or his circumstances specifically. And what were his circumstances specifically? What were they? He says here, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. We'll talk about that greater progress in a minute. But notice what his circumstances are. Look at verse 13. So that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ. The term imprisonment literally speaks of bonds or chains. That's really what it is. And that's translated in prison. And that's what's happened. If you're in chains, you've been imprisoned. He says they've turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, these circumstances. And back in verse 12, he says that my circumstances, or literally the things concerning me, the things concerning me, the Apostle Paul, we would say that's his circumstances. The things concerning me, New King James has the phrase, has happened to me, and I don't really like that translation. It's not close to what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying the things about me, not the things that have happened to me, as though things are just happening willy-nilly, right? Things don't just happen to believers. God is sovereign over those things, and Paul is going to relay that in how he speaks and the words that he uses. So his circumstances are the things according to the things about me, concerning me. What is it? It's his imprisonment. It's in prison. That's what they're wondering about. How are you doing, Paul? How are you doing in your imprisonment? How's the ministry going? How are you doing? So here we see the Apostle Paul was speaking of the things concerning him. And by the way, on a side note, the Apostle Paul was never focused on his own life. He was focused on the new life that he had in Christ. You see, when you're following Christ, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Turn to Acts chapter 20. It says Paul speaking, inspired by the Spirit, prophetically of what's going to happen to him. And if we know these things in advance, then we can be prepared as we follow Jesus and trust him when things happen to us as believers. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. The Apostle Paul says, and now behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. The Spirit of God was revealing to Paul that bonds and afflictions were awaiting him in every city. And guess what? He was in fetters here. No doubt about that. And we know that the Apostle Paul recognized within that. Notice the next phrase he says in Acts 20, verse 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. I don't hold my life dear. And the reason why, in order that I might finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, as we'll see next week, Lord willing, understood to live as Christ. It was about his will. So he didn't consider these circumstances really about him. And so often we do that. What's going on in your life? Well, it's all really about us, usually, unfortunately, right? But the Apostle is sharing it in light of what God is doing in those circumstances. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. We see the Apostle Paul understood this. So Paul is talking about the circumstances for following Jesus Christ. The circumstances that came about for obeying the Lord. And it's really important that we see that. Because so often we can have difficulties, and maybe they're because we're disobeying the Lord. Whether it's relationally, financially, at work, whatever it might be. We've done things that are not in accordance with God's Word, and we are suffering. But that's not suffering for Christ. There's no credit for those, if you're treated harshly, because you did something wrong, right? And you suddenly endure it. But here we see that the Apostle Paul is suffering for following Christ, for obeying Him. You see, folks, if you're in financial difficulty because of sin, confess it, be forgiven, endure the consequences, and move forward and follow Jesus. If you're in relational difficulty because you've sinned, confess it, be forgiven, endure the consequences, and move forward. As long as God's gracious. If you're in difficulty at work because you're not doing a good job, confess your sin, endure it, and move forward. There's no credit if we sin and we endure it, right? There's no credit from God. But now when we're walking rightly, forgiven, then the Lord can use us. And the circumstances that do come upon us, maybe relationally, financially, or at work, or whatever it might be, then we know God is in it. And we can trust that when we come upon circumstances, that these circumstances are because of following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul's circumstances here was that he was imprisoned. Look at verse 13 back in our passage. So that my imprisonment, notice what he says, in the cause of Christ. That's why, by the way, my imprisonment, fetters, bonds, chains. Well, we know in Acts chapter 21, verse 17, the Apostle Paul set foot in Jerusalem, having been warned by the Holy Spirit. I read that back in Acts 20. Indeed, he was falsely accused by his own people, Acts 21:28. He was nearly killed by the Jews. He ended up in prison. And then having narrowly escaped flogging and only pleading for his citizenship, Acts 22, then having a plot from the Jews to kill him, he was transferred to Caesarea, only to be tried before Felix and Festus, appealing to Caesar, and then defending himself before King Agrippa, all the while testifying of Jesus. And if this was not enough, he had his sea voyage to Rome. He was shipwrecked and then finally arrives in Rome. And then in Luke speaks of his Roman imprisonment in Acts 28. Turn to Acts chapter 28. Paul is in chains and he's gone through a lot. But it's because of Jesus, not because of sin. It's because of Jesus. And when that's the case in your life as a believer, there's some amazing things that happen if we see things rightly. Acts chapter 28, verse 16. And when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who was guarding him, okay? He had a soldier. He had a soldier probably chained right to him because he talks about chains. Then look down at verse 30 in Acts 28. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and he was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered. This imprisonment, the Apostle Paul is under house arrest, and he is open to share the Word of God. Later on, in 2 Timothy, we're going to see a little difference where he's imprisoned and it's not as open. He knows his time is coming, 2 Timothy, as he's at the end of his life. Look at Philemon, verse 10. Philemon, verse 10. I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who was formerly useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. And I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart. You see, Philemon was Onesimus's owner, and Onesimus had obviously run away, and he'd come to Christ, and he's turning back. Paul's doing the right thing here. And he's imploring Philemon to do the right thing in Christ. And he says here, and I have sent him back to you in person. That is, I'm sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for what? For the gospel. Paul was in chains for speaking the truth of Jesus Christ. He's in imprisonment for the gospel. We see that here. He says his bonds, literally in Christ, back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. He is in chains for the gospel, the ministry of the gospel. But yet he says, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. My chains, my imprisonment, the confining of me, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. The Philippians might have thought Paul hit a roadblock, the gospel's being hindered, the exact opposite. Folks, what circumstances are dominating you? What circumstances are binding you? What circumstances has God chained you to? Not because of sin. We talked about sin. Sometimes we have circumstances we're chained to. We confess that. We forgive Him. We move forward. And God is gracious. But what circumstances has He chained you to, in essence, that you have not done anything to bring about?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the few moments that we have left in today's program, if I'm facing a difficult circumstance right now, and one that's not a result of some sinful action on my part, how can I begin to see that as an opportunity rather than a hindrance?
Well, first of all, Dave, we need to acknowledge in our heart of hearts before the living God that He is sovereign over our circumstances. And we need to recognize, as His Word declares, that He's a good God and He will use these difficult circumstances for our good and His glory. Now, the only way I can see things this way is to renew my mind with His Word. Now, does this mean we don't pray that God might remove these difficult circumstances? Absolutely not. Yet as believers, we should pray first and foremost for God's will to be done through whatever circumstance He chooses to send our way. Our commitment is to stay the course for His glory no matter what happens to us. And once you've come to that point of surrender, you've committed yourself to a godly outcome, then you can pray for God to have mercy. And if He wills, to allow your suffering to be taken from you. In that way, you will honor your commitment to do whatever it takes to live in harmony with God's will for your life, regardless of what happens. It's not an easy road, nor is it one that many will understand. But it's the path that God has outlined in His Word,
And when we trust him and obey him in the midst of those circumstances, there is great peace, a peace that surpasses comprehension, even in the midst of the most difficult times. And God uses these difficult circumstances for our good and for his great glory.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.